You know what you need? Listening to this Dixieland Christmas music, you know what you need to go with that?
Roasted pecan.
You're close. How about some oyster dressing?
Oh?
Or cornbread dressing with oysters. Wow.
Now we're talking.
Now
we're getting hungry, man.
Now you're talking.
You could join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Texting is a new feature and become extremely popular. 411-923. And I'm going to go back to those for a
Before you do, have we built in a standard reply? Because we're getting so many of those. What are we telling people? If you reach us by phone, we guarantee your answer.
Maybe not on air, but you'll get it today.
If you text us, come see, come saw, right?
Right.
And we could not possibly answer all these texts. So if you definitely want a definitive answer to your question, dial us at toll-free, 1-888-767-4348. If you text us, we'll do the best we can.
And we had a conversation earlier about Christmas trees with what types, what kinds, what brands, where to buy, what to buy. We had had a conversation last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, or maybe three? It's been in the recent, within the last month.
Right.
We had a pretty extensive Christmas tree selection. And real quick, let's just run through the top couple bullet points. Selection, watering, and then disposing.
Got to be fresh to start with. There's no change in it. You know, you can't make a fresh tree out of one that's already not fresh. So make sure, do the old bounce test. Bounce that thing on the ground, see how many needles come off. If it stays, you know, bend them, squeeze them, smell them. You know, if they're supple, not leaves aren't falling off. Looks like the tree's been kept shaded. Hopefully when they stand them up in the lot, they're already putting them in water. Do that. Then make sure they get. I listened to your deal about the stand. Let them drill the hole and make the cut, because they do generally get it. They've got they just can do it. I've tried it before. I've never gotten it right. So let them do it.
And it gunks up your drill bit pretty bad. There's a lot
true
of sap
too.
In a
yeah,
fresh
let them
tree.
Let them get all their self all sappy and messy, and then get it right home and get it in the water. And then where you put your tree in the house, don't put it next to the fireplace or the heat register or whatever. Make sure it's in a cool place, and then keep that reservoir in your stand full of water. So those are all the things that to ensure, you know, freshness that you need to ensure. What type of tree you pick, you know, that's just personal taste. I can tell you the ones that they sell really, really inexpensively, the Douglas firs, tend to dry out
fast,
a lot quicker than the Nobles and the Nordmans and some of those other types of trees. So just something to watch. You're talking about traditions and decorating. You know, tinsel. Number one, we had two trees.
Okay.
Mom's tree, which we didn't touch. We were not allowed to touch that tree. She had her tree. She decorated it. It was beautiful, pristine, gorgeous. And then we had the family tree.
Yeah, baby.
Which we could do anything we want except the tinsel. That was one piece at a time. And, you know, so we generally let him put the tinsel on. Because little kids just, it's like after two or three of those, like, just start throwing it on there.
I would crunch it all up in a ball and lob it up as high as
heck
could. Just tinsel bomb the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Was really pretty.
We had one individual text in and want to know, can you use rosemary Christmas tree for cooking?
Well, sure. It's rosemary.
There's no special thing about a rosemary Christmas tree.
It's just a rosemary plant that has been,
cut like a Christmas tree,
sheared in the shape of a Christmas tree for maybe a couple of years to make sure that it's cone shaped. That'd be one of the reasons to buy like that. Absolutely.
And then this Brian emailed us in and wants to know what we recommend for tree stump removal. Sounds like it's the tree's
removal
already
or,
the tree's
or,
already gone, so now he's got this stump left. He's trying to figure out what to do with it.
Well, hardly anybody digs stumps out anymore. You know, a lot of guys will grind them. That's generally the typical solution to that is just grinding them out. And then, you know, if you want to put some stump killer or something like that after it's been freshly ground, you can put that on it so it doesn't resprout.
Okay, you grind it to 3 to 4 inches below grade, and then you just top coat over the top of it. Correct. Doesn't that eventually create a sinkhole in 10 years, 15 years? Or do you just fill it as it sinks?
I suppose it could, as that wood or the rest of the stump decomposes. It could become that.
Okay.
Well, then you have a place to plant a new tree.
There you go. Just curious.
Yeah.
And that decomposing root's actually good for the soil. It's just part of the whole...
Yeah. The part of the cycle of life. Yeah, you bet.
Just part of the way God made it.
Yep.
Let's get to our calls. Paul and Glendale's first on a tree planting question. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, guys. How you doing? Listen, I'm interested in getting a 5-gallon... 5-gallon Alberti, Alberzitae, dwarf tree. Looks like a Christmas tree. Is it too late to plant it? And if it's not too late to plant it, what kind of fertilizer would you suggest to put it in the hole when I stick it in the ground?
I think you said you meant Arborvita?
Yeah, it might be. It's I believe it's spelled A-R-B-O-R-Z.
Okay, yeah, Arborvita, which is a little evergreen-shaped small tree, can be used to make a good little Christmas tree, actually, and this is a great time to plant them. They love to be planted in the cool weather. Make sure you dig a nice wide hole, not any deeper than the root ball of the plant. You don't ever want to plant anything deeper than it's already planted, but nice and wide. And with those types of plants, you probably want to use a little compost mixed with your native soil as your backfill around the root ball of it.
And that's more important than a fertilizer right now, just mixing your soil.
Just good soil, good organic soil mixed with the native soil on those non-native type plants like conifers and evergreens, you bet.
That's something I want to start is the south side of our property. I want to start planting a living Christmas tree every year. We have room for probably 20, 25. We were going to plant one for each year in different areas. So it's not this, high to low.
Yeah, right.
Plant one in the middle, scattered one on around. The far side. And I'm getting there. I'm getting there. But I think that'll look good in a number of years. And put like a little time lock under each one, how old the kids were, what happened that year.
That's a thought. I never heard of that. Fun. That's a great idea.
Let's go to Florence and bring Frank into the conversation, talking grass now. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How may we help you?
Well, I got a question. I'm wanting to redo my lawn. Obviously, we do winter and summertime grass here in Arizona. Back east where I'm from, you just let it grow and you just cut it as it needs to be. There is no summertime and wintertime grass. Now here, I'm curious, is it too late in the season to go ahead and strip that summer grass and try to regrow winter grass?
Well, certainly the winter type or cool season grasses, like generally we use rye grasses for
correct.
That. They'll still germinate even in the cooler weather. It just will take a lot longer.
Right.
No, you could still do it. Just be prepared. They're not going to come up in 5 or 7 days like they do in October. It's going to take a couple, 3 weeks maybe for that.
Now, as far as preparing the ground for that, I was told basically cut it as low as it'll go, which I have done. But now I have left over what looks like the grass from the summertime, how it migrates. It's all real. It's stringy and dead. Almost looks like a vine on the ground, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Do I strip all that
no.
to the dirt or leave that?
No, you can leave it. It's gone dormant. It's not going to hurt anything. And you certainly don't want to go in and thatch it or remove any more of the thatch this time of year. So just cut it short enough that the seed can find its way down to the soil level and then seed it. One thing that does help this time of year is maybe covering the seed with a you know, some compost or manure or something that, you know, might keep it warmer, might get some radiated warmth from the darkness of a mulch or a compost, because that's what you're fighting now. It's just cold soil temperatures that are going to make that germination kind of slow.
And just about any place that sells ryegrass or that would have some left is going to sell top seed cover.
And there you hit the nail on the head. The biggest problem now might be finding enough ryegrass seed to do the job.
Now, am I right? In the last couple of years, we've changed our instructions to people. We always used to dethatch before you planted winter lawns. And now
we don't. We do
still,
not recommend.
That method is still being advertised by several companies that that's the right way to do it.
I know. But according to Dr. Dave Kopeck, who's kind of the turf guru at the U of A, you really don't want to thatch the lawn. In fact, you don't want to scalp it probably any harder than you have to. We used to say take it as low as you can, right down to the dirt.
Yeah. Ruin your blades. Yeah. Just take right down there.
And so that changed. That's all.
Was that it? Was that the lawnmower sharpeners release that caught on?
Yeah.
Well, I think what started them looking into all of these things was the fact that we were having and have had for the last number of years such a hard time getting the lawns to transition back come spring and early summer. The ryegrass has hung on so long. The Bermudas were slow coming back. In a lot, and some of it is the fact that we've stressed them. Number one, overseeding it is stressful to them.
Interesting.
I mean, we're doing that for our own good to have a green lawn in the wintertime because we want to be outside, and that's when we enjoy our
You would think they'd be
weather.
Putting like a sweater on them.
Yeah, you'd think. But there's competition. We scalp too early. We do it. The Bermudas are not dormant yet. So we're forcing that into a dormancy or before it wants to go dormant. Then we put a competitor on top of it, and it's not only competing for nutrients, but also sunlight and everything else. Then the Bermuda does finally go dormant. But then when it wants to come out of dormancy, there's this competitor still there that we are continuing to water and fertilize. And so it kind of makes it rough. So one of the things that will help is do not disturb that Bermuda grass any more than you have to when you overseed it in the fall. Just cut it short enough to get the seed down in there and not any shorter, and don't dethatch it. Dethatching should be done probably as part of your transition. Come about May, get in there and dethatch it, because then that will kind of help the Bermuda grass stimulate new growth. It'll open up sunlight. It'll get some sun to the roots and the thatch and help it retransition back into its vital state.